My guest at this time is Don Fetter. He's the Communications Director at the World Congress of Families, an organization promoting traditional values such as marriage between a man and a woman and the right to life. Over the past few weeks, the Obama administration, of course, began implementing sanctions against key individuals in Russia over their role in facilitating the Russian annexation of Crimea from Ukraine. But one name on the list seems a bit out of place, that of Elena Mizalina, an outspoken supporter of the rights of the unborn and of traditional marriage. So, is Mizalina actually somehow responsible in part for the Russian annexation of Crimea, or is she being targeted for her personal beliefs, or is something else afoot? That's what we'll discuss for the next few minutes, and Don, thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Greg.
This is a woman who is chairman of the Russian Duma's Committee on Family, Women, and Children's Affairs, so it wouldn't seem that they have a lot to do with international affairs and that she works in that sort of arena. She is, however, responsible for a policy in Russia that's very controversial right now in this country, and that's the ban on the adoption of Russian children by American families. So is she being potentially punished for that? Is she being punished for her views in general? What do we know here?
Well, I think she's being punished for her pro-family views, and I think this administration is clearly controlled by the gay lobby. Whatever organized homosexuals want, the administration gives them. I think it was about a year and a half ago that Obama announced that gay rights, promoting gay rights abroad, would be a major U.S. foreign policy initiative. You have to shake your head and wonder. This promoting gay rights is now a major U.S. foreign policy initiative. And in fact, U.S. ambassadors have been ordered to march in gay pride parades all over the world, wherever they're held. Elena Mizalina, as far as I know, has nothing to do with the controversy over the Crimea, Greg. I guess she did sponsor a bill to make it easier for residents of the Crimea to have Russian citizenship. Now, that's before the Crimea was incorporated in Russia. Other than that, absolutely nothing to do with the Crimea. This is payback. This is payback for Russian restrictions on abortion. It's payback for the child protection law. It's payback for all the pro-family initiatives that the Russian people have undertaken in the last few years.
Don, do you believe that this is something that would have happened anyway, or is this just a convenient way to slip it in under the guise of sanctions over what's going on with Crimea and Ukraine?
Oh, I think it's a convenient excuse, Greg. Otherwise, I don't think that they would have put Elena on a sanctions list. But, you know, really, who's paying attention to the individuals who are on the list, other than perhaps Vladimir Yakunin? You know, they can throw anybody they want to on the list that they want to penalize for one policy or another. And again, Greg, you know, not to be repetitive, but I think clearly this is an effort to penalize Elena for sponsoring pro-family legislation.
Do you get the sense that this will impact U.S.-Russian affairs? Is this someone that Vladimir Putin or anybody else over there is likely to stand up and insist that these sanctions be lifted on her, or is this just going to keep flying under the radar?
I think Putin feels the sanctions are a joke. It gives him an opportunity to say to the people who are pressuring him to do more, look, I have this list of people that I've applied sanctions to. It's sort of like his famous red line, you know. He'll say, I've drawn a red line, and if Syria crosses the red line, there are going to be serious consequences. So Syria crosses the red line, and the serious consequences are Obama drawing another red line. It's something like this. I don't think Putin takes any of us seriously. In fact, I don't think he takes our president seriously.
Do you get the sense that these sanctions will impact her work in any way? Is this going to, you know, quiet her or stop her from passing legislation that's pro-family?
No, I think she's made of sterner stuff. It probably will make it difficult, if not impossible, to travel to the United States and some European countries. There's a European sanctions list the EU's drawn up. I don't know if she's on that, but if she is, it'll make it, I guess, impossible for her to visit countries that are members of the European Union. But I don't think the sanctions are going to last that long anyway. They're set to expire in 6 months. And I have a feeling that if there's a resolution of a conflict in the Crimea, that the sanctions will be removed much earlier.
A couple questions left in our time with Don Fetter of the World Congress of Families. And Don, in the materials that I have read, it appears that one of the reasons that Elena Mizalina was in favor of this ban on Americans adopting Russian orphans is because she didn't want to run the risk that they would be adopted into homosexual partnerships. Obviously, that's going to be a major controversial point in our culture at this point. What do you make of her position there?
I think her position is absolutely right. The Russians are very traditional people. They have a strong religious orientation. They haven't gotten caught up in the whole politically correct thing that has captured so many people in this country, that homosexuality is essentially the same as heterosexuality, that it's genetically determined, and that what's called discrimination against gays is the same as discrimination against a racial minority, for instance. The Russian people don't feel that way, and no, they don't want to see Russian children placed with homosexuals. Frankly, I don't blame them.
Don, you mentioned earlier that you believe the homosexual lobby is calling a lot of the shots in the Obama administration right now. Obviously, they changed the policy on who can serve in the military. We're seeing Eric Holder recognize marriages performed in states where governors have said that they wouldn't be recognized following federal court decisions and so forth. Just how much of a hold does this lobby have over this administration, and why do you think it's gotten to that point?
I think a lot of it has to do with funding. Remember that when Obama ran for president in 2008, Greg, he said that, you know, while he was sympathetic to gay rights, he believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. Then in 2012, at the beginning of his reelection campaign, suddenly he decided that he was in favor of gay marriage. Well, what changed? Obviously nothing. It was expediency. He was told by certain gay donors that if he didn't begin supporting gay marriage, they would withhold their donations. And on that basis, Obama decided to have this very convenient change of heart. Now, I think that supporting homosexual marriage, if you will, and I put the word marriage there in quotation marks, has always been Obama's position. I think he adopted the one man, one woman in 2008 as a matter of expediency. So part of it is Obama's natural philosophical inclination on social issues, and part of it is expediency.
And in terms of where this goes from here, we've talked about some of the policy initiatives that he's taken in terms of the military, the definition of marriage. Just this week, we saw with Mozilla, and it's happened with other companies and other individuals around the country, where mere staking of a position, much less speaking out on it, has basically gotten people ostracized. So how much responsibility for that do you place on the administration?
Well, the administration, of course, has legitimized it, that type of pressure. By the way, it's not just repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Greg. We're now having drag queen shows on military bases. This is absolutely mind-boggling. The Obama administration, you know, before the Supreme Court ruled on DOMA, the administration announced that they were not going to defend DOMA in court. Here's a law that was passed by Congress, signed by the President of the United States, a Democratic president, by the way, Bill Clinton. And the Obama administration announces that Obama doesn't have to defend laws he doesn't believe in.
Let's wrap up by going back to Elena Mizalina. Basically, what you're suggesting, others have suggested here, is that she's being falsely accused of something in terms of her association or alleged association with what's going on in Ukraine. Any ramifications for that on the world stage, potentially, if in fact they are discovered to have done that?
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, many people, and not just people on the right, understand that Obama has become a power unto himself. You know, basically he said that there are three power bases in the United States. There's the president, there's his pen, and there's his telephone. These are now the three branches of government. It's certainly petty, but it's not surprising that the Obama administration would choose to target Elena in this way.
Well, it's another issue we'll certainly be keeping track of as the cultural issues remain front and center. Don, thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Greg.
Don Fetter is Communications Director at the World Congress of Families. That's an organization promoting traditional values such as marriage between one man and one woman and the right to life across the world. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.